Suffolk County officials are warning residents to stay cool as an oppressive heat wave bears down on the region. Health Commissioner Gregson Piggott says the high heat combined with the humidity can be deadly.
Your body's natural reaction is to sweat, and so you're losing fluid, you're losing electrolytes, and you need to stay hydrated. Dehydration is one of the main causes that where you get into the heat strokes and the heat emergencies that we're talking about here.
Piggott says shortness of breath, chest pain, or dizziness are signs it's time to call 911. Dozens of cooling centers will be open through the weekend, some of them with extended hours due to the heat. To find one, go online to suffolkcountyny.gov. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Eversource is planning on asking for an 11% rate hike. A massive portrait of George Washington underwent a year-long restoration to be on display in our region. Plus, a Connecticut author writes a children's book showcasing the official birds of all 50 states. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont and his Democratic Party primary challenger, State Representative Josh Elliott, differ on how to lower local property taxes. They appeared separately on a candidate's forum this week. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lamont and Elliott both agree that local property taxes are too high. Lamont says he's tackling the problem by encouraging Connecticut's 169 towns and cities to reduce costs by sharing regional services and having the state take over the cost of special education.
State ought to take that burden off of the shoulders of, local towns. I think it's better for the kids. They don't have to go a mile, 100 miles to Massachusetts or something. We can save them dramatically, have more local regional solutions for special ed, and save the local taxpayers a heck of a lot of dough.
Elliott proposed a different solution.
I would eliminate the property tax entirely, have one tax and one tax alone, and that would be the income tax. Everything else is regressive, and I want to move away from regressive taxation. The state would then, by metric, send money back to municipalities that have the greatest need to make sure that there is fairness across the board.
To make up for the elimination of local property taxes, Elliott is proposing raising the state income tax on the highest earners, making $1 million or more. At the forum organized by the Regional Plan Association, both candidates also answered questions on affordability, housing, clean energy, and the economy. Connecticut's Democratic Party gubernatorial primary is on August 11th. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
And a new poll from the University of New Hampshire found that 53% of voters said if the primary were today, they would support Lamont. 23% said they would support Elliott, and 24% are undecided. Connecticut energy company Eversource is planning to ask for an 11% rate hike. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports they also want hundreds of thousands of documents about the request to be kept confidential.
Eversource hasn't had a formal rate hike in 9 years, though they have had adjustments. Governor Ned Lamont points out that the request will have to pass through the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority.
Look, they can ask for whatever they want. And then you have to go through PURA, which is our regulatory board. They push back hard. They make sure that every dime is justified. It's going to go in upgrading the grid.
A bipartisan group of almost 70 state lawmakers have written to PURA, asking them to review the application with, quote, the most rigorous scrutiny possible. And on the confidentiality request, Eversource says there's sensitive information in there. Attorney General William Tong says not so fast. He plans to pore through every page of the application. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A prominent portrait of a founding father is back on display at the New York State Capitol just in time for America 250. The massive portrait of George Washington underwent a year-long restoration. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King has more on the work that went into conserving the historic portrait.
The 8-foot portrait looms over the State Street lobby at the Capitol next to the information desk. The portrait by artist Ezra Ames dates to 1813. And has been on display in various locations ever since. Joseph Madeira with the Office of General Services says its current, very busy location led to challenges.
For example, the temperature fluctuates quite a bit, the humidity changes quite a bit, and all of those changes have an impact on the canvas.
So George went away for about a year to the Williamstown and Atlanta Art Conservation Center, where the team added things like UV protection and restored the frame. Executive Director Brian Greenfield says it's incredible to see the work back on display.
Bringing its civic purpose back to the painting as well. That's kind of the last piece of this project in conservation that gives it so much power.
State historians say they hope the portrait inspires curiosity and reflection as America celebrates its 250th birthday. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
Every state has an official bird and a story to tell. We're talking all about America's all-star birds coming up.
Join WSHU for a one-night-only screening of Morton Meets the Eye, a quirky new film that weaves together mystery, humor, and suspense in a truly original way. Meet the filmmakers, hear from the cast, and be part of a unique movie event you won't find on any streaming service. Monday, July 20th at the Shoe Community Theater in Fairfield Center, all proceeds benefit WSHU. For tickets and to watch the trailer, visit WSHU.org.
Nurses at St. Charles Hospital in Port Jefferson say they'll go on strike July 13th if they can't agree with hospital operator Catholic Health on a new contract. The union says the nurse-to-patient ratios at St. Charles are not safe. Catholic Health denies that allegation. The nurses also want higher pay. Almost 6 in 10 Long Islanders say they're unhappy with President Trump's job performance, according to a poll by Siena Research Institute and Newsday. Their top complaints are Trump's handling of the economy and his leadership in conflicts abroad. School is out for summer, but there are plenty of events around the Long Island Sound region to keep kids entertained. WSHU's Janice Roman shares more.
This summer, parents can look forward to family-friendly activities that are free or budget-friendly. In Connecticut, the Passport to Parks program allows CT-registered vehicles to park free of charge at all Connecticut state parks and forests. Lyman Orchards will host its Blueberry Festival on July 18th. In addition to blueberry picking, free activities for kids include pie-eating contests, live music, and crafts. The U.S. Navy Submarine Force Museum in Groton has free admission and parking. Visitors can tour the inside of the first nuclear-powered submarine. And on Long Island, Jones Beach and Robert Moses State Parks will be open throughout the summer, with an entrance fee of $10 per car. Learn more about activities and events over at WSHU.org. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Red, white, blue, and birds. In honor of America 250, a Connecticut author has written Feathered and Famous, Meet America's All-Star Birds, a children's book showcasing the official state birds of all 50 states. I spoke with Gail Martino to learn more. In addition to being an author, she serves on the boards of the Connecticut Audubon Society and New Haven Bird Club. Why do we even have state birds? What's the history around that?
Yeah, so, you know, humans have been using birds to symbolize us going back thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And so there's something enduring about, a symbol and a bird symbol. I think in the state, in the case of state birds, there's a number of reasons why we have them. One is that the birds symbolize qualities that we want to have, whether that's bravery or freedom or resilience, beauty in some cases. It represents a sense of place. It represents our values. And more recently, it represents conservation or in some cases conservation success.
Yeah. Did you discover any unexpected stories about how some states selected their birds?
Let's start with the national bird.
Yeah, please.
So our national bird is the bald eagle, and many people recognize that as the symbol of the United States. And it started being used as the symbol of the United States back before the United States was even the United States. It was still the colonies. Mm. But the bald eagle only became officially the national bird in 2024.
Amazing. Like, how? how did we miss that for so long?
Well, you know, the birds didn't complain, right? So, you know, we used it, and it was sort of unofficially adopted. And sometimes that's how it goes. It's unofficial, and then finally it becomes, legally adopted. Mm. Yeah.
And there's kind of a funny story with how it was selected too, right? Like, I remember that was always something we talked about in elementary school. There was some controversy with the turkey or something. Can you be able to share that?
Yeah, this is the most popular question that I'm asked. And what's the story about Benjamin Franklin and the turkey?
Yes.
And so forth. Okay. So Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to his daughter criticizing the bald eagle. Now, the bald eagle has a behavior of being opportunistic. It will steal fish from other birds, for example. And so he did not think that was an honorable aspect of its behavior. And he thought that the turkey was more honorable in terms of how it came about its food. So Benjamin Franklin, yes, he criticized the eagle in a private letter. No, he didn't advocate for the turkey.
Okay. Were there any other birds in the running from any other founding fathers or?
No. When they were developing the seal of the 13 colonies, it was the artist who drew it, who suggested it.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't imagine a better choice. I mean, it's the coolest bird there is, in my opinion. Can we talk about Connecticut's the American Robin, right?
I would love to talk about that. So the American Robin is, you know, many people recognize it, especially in the spring when you see them more on lawns. The bird was adopted as Connecticut state bird in 1943. Now, imagine what was happening in the world at that time. That was during World War II. There were many Connecticut families who had a family member who was serving overseas. And what were they thinking? They were thinking, I miss them and I want them to come home safely. And so that was the mood music at the time in the state. So now here's this bird that is a symbol of hope and renewal and spring and coming home and coming home safely each year. And I think that it was a very appropriate symbol of Connecticut then, and some of those values of hope and renewal endure.
That's so lovely. I love that. And in New York, it's the Eastern Bluebird. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Now, the Eastern Bluebird story is interesting as well for very different reasons. So the Eastern Bluebird is a thrush, just like the American Robin is. It's a gorgeous bird. It's red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah.
It's associated with like rural areas in the state, farmlands, they eat insects. Now, in the 1920s, there was a lobby, including lots of votes from school children to adopt the Eastern Bluebird as the state bird of New York. But there was a lot of pushback from legislators in the urban areas of the state. And what they said was, hey, you know, nobody knows what a bluebird is. Nobody in New York City has seen a bluebird. They know pigeons, they know sparrows, but nobody can recognize that bird. It can't represent all of us. It actually took over 40 years for the bluebird lobby to persevere.
Wow.
and so that's a story of how sometimes these birds can be suggested, but they're not automatically adopted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was speaking there with Gail Martino, author of Feathered and Famous, Meet America's All-Star Birds. Hear more of our conversation at WSHU.org. And you can get a copy of the book at brightwingpress.com or on Amazon. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. If you're looking for some inspiration for America 250 fun in the region, visit WSHU.org or head on over to our Instagram. We are at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you for being with me today. Stay cool. We'll talk tomorrow.